Guys, it's chaos here in dog world.
The puppies. We've got the halls. Welcome back to Two Niche. I am Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. And today we're hauling. It's a bit of a dark haul, but also a light haul.
I think it's definitely dark haul adjacent, but I think it just depends like how much you let it penetrate.
Totally. And by that, we mean we're hauling TikTok conspiracy theories.
Get into the haul. I did want to provide a few updates based off of previous hauls.
Please go.
One being, as you might remember, we did our Vanderpump Rules city guide that included various Vanderpump properties, and the one that neither of us had been to was Vanderpump Gardens.
A haul amendment.
I made it to Vanderpump Gardens finally.
How was it?
At 4 p.m. on a Wednesday. As one does, Vanderpump night. So it felt really right. It was a B.
Okay.
It was great. It was like everything that a Nick Elaine LVP collab had to offer. There's something about it's at Caesars in the casino right before you enter the forum shops. And it was sort of like I got a jolt of excitement when I saw it. It brought me there.
Okay, I like that. Do you like it more or less than Vanderpump à Paris?
Now that I've been to both, I see there's like a cohesion between both of them. They both do like the screens as windows thing. They're both using fake flowers to the best of their ability. The lighting fixtures are all, it's just they
iron.
They work together.
Iron and glass.
And rhinestones.
Interesting vials of liquids.
I didn't see any liquid
no vials,
but I was amped to be there. I did not eat anything and I ordered Pellegrino, so.
Okay, so you're running on limited intel, but wait, I can't remember what Vanderpump à Paris was, the rating of that.
It was low, but I also went there at like, it was midnight at.
It was a hectic time.
Paris Casino, like it was just on a weekend.
Question, did you see Farah, the Sheena doppelganger server?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But our server was giving Sheena-esque energy as well.
I decided that if I get another pet, it's going to be named Sheena. Like
That's perfect. Is
the ultimate pet name.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm ready for people to start naming their babies Sheena. Like, let's bring that into the consciousness.
I think if I had a pet, I'd name them Summer Moon.
I like that.
Yeah. Just as an homage to Sheena. And then another I know we discussed The Idol.
Yeah.
And I did see it.
Me too.
What were your thoughts?
I give it an A, honestly. It felt like watching a erotic thriller, like a rated R erotic thriller. And I just haven't had personally the thrill of a cinematic rated R experience in so long.
Yeah.
Like a true hard R. And I think I know just based on kind of the setup, like the writing has its issues, but I don't begrudge it for that. It's like visually very satisfying. Everyone looks so hot on film. And I feel like I kind of know where it's going. And as someone that just loves to like prove the haters wrong, I think that by the end of The Idol, everyone's gonna be like singing a totally different tune.
Okay.
That's my idol prediction, is that everyone who is like publicly shitting on it is gonna be embarrassed at the end.
Okay. I liked it. I was entertained. I would say I was more of a niche with like a sheesh rising.
Okay.
Is how I was feeling about it. I had that same unsafe feeling that I feel when I watched Euphoria that I don't like I was darked out.
See, I felt more safe in this than I did in Euphoria.
Okay, well, we'll see.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a It's a we'll see.
Is The Weeknd a good actor? I'm really confused. I don't know.
I'm confused about the hair choice. Because when you choose to put a braid like that on a man.
Kind of a poofy, a poofy pulled back with a braid. But it does remind me of Samuel Jackson's hair in Jackie Brown. And that was like another iconic kind of like sleazy.
For the genre.
Yeah.
Like what Jackie Brown was, this to me is like that look doesn't really work in the world we're in here, which is like hot and sexy. So yeah. To me, it's like I couldn't get on board.
I'm confused by like both Jocelyn. I'm mostly confused by like her motivations. Like, why is she all of a sudden choosing this guy? Like, he doesn't seem to really offer that much.
Right.
And I'm like, why does she like him? So that makes me think from like a storytelling standpoint that she has other things going. She has like a master plan of some sort. We think that he has the master plan, but really it's like Jocelyn's world and we're all just living in
it. I'm open to that. I will say the best part of it for me was the fact that Jennie from Blackpink was in it.
I know that's really powerful and gives me chills.
That made me excited.
And the styling is really incredible.
Yeah, and I liked her team. Like those characters I thought were really fun and they were playing it well.
The casting is A+.
Yeah. I love the, what's the woman's name? She was Megan in Father the Bride Part 2. I don't know what her actual
name is. Jane Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's Megan.
I love that you know her by name and FOB2. FOTB2. But yeah, she's iconic. Yeah, I'm ready for I'm ready for just something to go off the rails and like challenge people. I like it when people are mad.
Okay.
But I like it when people are like mad at art, but the art still happens. Like I don't like it when they get mad and they cancel the art.
I think she also played the role well.
Yeah.
I'll give that.
Very
she's great. Like
compelling.
If we didn't know that there was like a Nepo baby component, I would be like still if she was just a regular actress, I'd be like, "Oh, she's did a great job."
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a good Nepo baby.
Mm-hmm. She gets an A+ Nepo baby rating.
Yeah. Okay. So today we are hauling TikTok conspiracies. Laura and I have a group chat where I think like 70% of the content is these videos.
Videos of Britney Spears. Just people trying to get to the bottom of what the fuck is going on with this person. And like not only that, but who... Is she actually the person performing in her videos now, or is it like AI videos, or like what is the truth of what's happening?
And I think what happened is because the fans were proved correct on the Free Britney movement, it's opened the floodgates into BNN, as it's called. And I know that when I've taken the time to like really go deep into the Britney is AI world, I feel unwell afterwards, like the QAnon deep dives, if anyone's ever done one of those.
Yeah, I think like, what do you think is going on with Britney?
Okay, so there's twofold here. They're saying that Britney is AI, and that there's a theory going around that Britney...
The videos you see she's posting on her social media
is someone else, and there's like a filter over her face to look like her.
Okay.
Okay, there's one. And then there's a sub BNN theory that focuses on her wedding to Sam that says that Britney also wasn't there allegedly at the wedding, and that it was like all green screen, and that basically, when we have like Paris, Madonna, Selena Gomez, Drew Barrymore, Will.i.am, there was like a random spattering of celebrities there that they were paid to be there. And it's some, like, I actually am confused by it.
Yeah. And like, I've seen the videos where it talks, like, it's like them on talk shows talking about the wedding, but it's incredibly vague and it doesn't prove that they were actually there or...
Yeah, there's just something amiss in, as you said, the vagueness as well as just like the photo quality, the photoshopping that we saw come out of that event. Like, do you remember how it was like, there's this picture of Britney and Madonna, and like Madonna's like so small next to Britney, and Britney looks like so much taller than her. It's just like a weird.
And like there was a body double in a wedding dress. I think I saw that theory. Unfortunately, when it comes to, I like the Britney Spears like being on, and the fact that it runs so deep, because it is like really creepy and it is very idol adjacent almost. Like, what's going on with this famous pop star? And there's something sinister at play. I think that unfortunately she is just like extremely mentally unwell. And instead of taking a step back from the spotlight or just kind of going underground and just like disappearing for a while to deal with it, her team or whoever's in charge is like, we have to kind of keep this social media presence going, or it would behoove us to keep this going. But really, it's like not behooving anyone. It's just like making people confused and upset. And it's not good. I don't think it's good for the brand.
I don't know if there like really is a Britney brand to be spoken of at the moment anymore. Like, I, as a former diehard fan, and I will always, I've preserved that adoration for her and I will always have it. But I feel like as a fan, at least where I sit, I'm like, I feel like she doesn't want us to be like talking about her. So I've,
in her biz.
Yeah. So I've sort of like moved away and sort of made it just like a personal policy that I don't comment.
You're like, I won't comment unless it's on my own podcast. Exactly. To all the listeners. Exactly. Who engage with that content.
I privately comment on the mic. Like, I truly don't know what's going on. Do I think that there's a filter involved? Yeah, I do. I think she's probably using some sort of filter, and it's what's causing these glitches.
Yeah, like a beauty filter or something.
Yeah, but I will say that some of these TikTok creators, they make a compelling argument.
It's very entertaining, and it's like a good alternative for watching like a thriller or a horror movie, because it has all the pieces. But unfortunately, I feel like it's just kind of, things are always going to be uncanny because this person crossed over to the other side long ago.
And right. It,
I don't think we're ever going to experience a Britney Spears normalcy era ever again, which is just what happens, I think, to a lot of people who have like really intense like psychotic breaks or mental health. Like, your brain just doesn't recover in the same way.
Yeah. And I blame her fans. It's our fault.
It's really kind of wild. Like, the fandom, the power of fandom now is, I think, more powerful than it's ever been.
It's spooky.
Like the Britney thing, and then this like Taylor and Maddie Healy thing, which I didn't realize like how lit people truly were about this until I like made some passing comments about it on Sup, and then people were kind of furious. But I mean, I knew her fans were like writing like huge petitions and trying to get her to break up. But then when the news dropped that she actually did break up with him, I was like, her fans literally said, I don't think so.
Well, I came across a theory on that. We'll get to it later.
Okay.
But with the Britney of it all, I feel like I'm not doing the best job explaining like what's out there, because it's just, it puts me into a trance when I see it. And I feel like it's sinister feeling, and it makes me sad. And
I think the biggest theory, like to some being on up, is like Britney is being hidden away somewhere and we don't know where she is, but there's all this other stuff being put out there that's supposed to be representative of like her current status, but there's something really off about it. And it's not, which I think that is true. I think there is some sort of like obfuscation of her whereabouts. But I think it's just like, maybe she filmed, I mean, her videos are always weird. She does like use filters and stuff. She probably just has a lot of videos filmed that someone, a social media manager, just puts up.
Yep. And this all reached a fever pitch a few months ago when Perez Hilton got online and he gave that testimonial that he was like what I know is so detrimental and it's so dark, and like what's happening to Britney is she's not okay. And he like took it to the socials and was like confessing this alleged like dark secret that he knows about Britney, and then that just faded away. But that really gave ammo to the BNN community. And then another, like, other bits are that this woman, Lou Taylor, who had a really strong hand in Britney's conservatorship, is also linked to the Kardashians and Paris Hilton. And so it was interesting how Paris was at the wedding. There's like all these loose ties roaming around.
Okay. Like she still might be part of the team to kind of keep things seeming like they're being held together. Yeah.
But I have prayers for Britney. I love her. I think she wants us to leave her alone. So maybe we should move on.
Yeah, we can move on. I hope that she finds peace.
Me too.
Wherever she is, and it just is happy and peaceful. And she gets really what she wants out of life.
Was it. She was the it factor for mm-hmm. so long. And I remember when she was just like reigned supreme. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what is going to happen. Because people don't sustain this level of notoriety and fame for very long. So like, what will the downfall be? Never in a million would I have guessed like truly what happened. Because it is the craziest thing.
Yeah. It's really tragic. There was a follow-up Britney doc. Did they shed any light on the subject?
Yes. I watched it. It's on Hulu right now. Hulu's got some strong documentary options at the moment. It was like a TMZ thing. They basically got into the darkness, but then kind of like ended on a lighter note. They were like, her book's scheduled to come out and she's living her life. Who knows?
But what did they say as to where she's been? Did they address like BNN theories, or they're just kind of like, she's kooky, but she's cool?
They addressed the BNN, but they were more, it was more, how do I say it? They were like, it was like an exploration of those theories, but it was nothing like we didn't already know.
And no definitive like answer.
No definitive answers.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
For that, I give this conspiracy theory a B.
For BNN.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A B minus and on.
Yeah, a B minus. That sounds right.
But I think it is a fun trail to go down, but you got to like immediately get outside.
Yeah. Then you have to watch something light or like journal it out and not get swept up. Where do we go from here?
I feel like let's go for like a lighter one with Haley and Selena.
Okay.
This one really grabbed my attention when it happened earlier this year. The puppies are really excited about this one. So basically, this all came to light when Selena Gomez posted a TikTok about the fact that she accidentally over-laminated her brows. And then Kylie Jenner posted like a FaceTime of a screenshot of a FaceTime between her and Hailey Bieber just showing their brows with, I think, the phrase like accident ? On it or something like that. Like sort of like a what people received it as sort of shading Selena. And then the floodgates hath opened and it basically turned into,
it became a war.
It was a war.
It was a war declared by the Selenators against Hailey Baldwin, and they were out for blood. Hailey was essentially canceled.
The theories that I saw that I found most compelling were that Hailey has basically been like single white femaling Selena.
That
since
was
the beginning of time.
Some of my favorite content was the people that went really deep and would find videos of them years apart kind of saying the same things in interviews, or like Selena wore like a leopard print top and then Hailey was seen years later wearing like a leopard print top. Or Selena said something like, I treat people with like love and kindness. And then later in an interview, Hailey was like, I love to treat people with just love and kindness. Like total, I think this whole thing has been a total reach. And my conspiracy theory is that actually Selena Gomez started this whole thing.
She was definitely adding fuel to the fire.
She started it because I traced it all back. I put on my historian hat and was like, I'm getting to the bottom of this. And it all started when Hailey was doing like a skincare routine video. And then Selena posted a video where she was like dramatically putting on like lotions on her face. And that was, I think, meant to be a shady dig at Hailey.
I agree.
And that's actually happened before eyebrow lamination gate. Mm-hmm. So I just saw like the way that Selena was acting. I was like, this is a person that's like playing the victim and being like relishing this like martyred victim role, because she kept commenting on videos. Like there was that video with like Kendall, Justine, and Hailey being like, I don't think she deserved it, but God's timing is always right or something, which was, people said, was like supposed to be referring to like bad, unflattering paparazzi photos that were taken of Selena. And which may or may not be true, also kind of a reach, like no true ties can be drawn. But like the way that Selena was like commenting and being like, I don't let things like this get me down. Like it's all love. I was just like, you love this.
Also, it really turned into like it struck a chord with people, because I think it was like either you're a Selena or you're a Hailey. Whereas a Hailey was like the cool popular girl in school who sort of like had it all. And Selena, you know, she's been like vocal with her struggles and like she's more relatable.
I think, and it struck something in people, and I think it struck something in Selena, where the woman that ends up, or who, the person that ends up with your ex that you had like an intense relationship with, I think there's a part of everyone, like a shadow side, where you're like, I would love to see them like fail or fall on their face or like get a little karma. And I think that scratched that itch for a lot of people, where it's like, that is such a comforting narrative.
Yeah, when it really fed when, in.
Yeah.
And then you have the added cherry on top that all three of the women involved, I'm including Kylie Jenner in the mix, all have makeup brands. So what was funny is that Beauty Independent, which is a like strictly industry publication for the beauty industry, they were commenting on it.
So whose brand came out on top? Rare.
Rare.
I still have never tried a Rare Beauty product. Have you?
Yeah, I tried like a concealer and their highlighter, just that my friend had it, and I was curious. It's good. I mean, I think it hits a chord, like the right chords with the Sephora customer, in a way that like you can be a Selena fan or not, and you can
fuck with some rare beauty. Yeah, I have always been a Hailey fan, and that's just where my loyalties lie in this fight. And then just doing the research, I was like, I'm not buying what Selena's selling.
Yeah, I'm kind of neutral. I'm chaotic neutral on this.
Okay.
I think that I'm more fascinated by the time spent with the montage videos of people finding the similarities between both Hailey and Selena's behaviors. And I had seen something that was like an interview where Selena was like, I just want people to know my heart. And then Hailey was like, I just want people to know my heart. And it's like, they're like, see, she's copying her. I'm like, it's the most generic thing to say.
Very
on the
generic
planet.
Very like, aren't they both like hardcore Christians? Don't they both belong to the same kind of church, like Hillsong vibes or something like that?
They both had their Hillsong moments, which, by the way, speaking of Hulu documentaries,
that one
was so good.
What happened to his face? Why does he look like that now?
Because he had like a major Adderall addiction. He has post-Adderall face.
You just like, your face changes? Your face size?
Yeah.
Is it just like a weight gain and then it settles?
I think you get like, and I'm speaking as like a former user.
It looks like his skin texture changed.
You get puffy, you age.
Wow. Reasons not to take Adderall.
They interview him.
Okay.
It's great. It's okay. So good. Also, my friend Howie Kahn is a journalist and he's also interviewed in it. And it's always
powerful.
Fun to see a friend in a talking head.
An expert friend.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little evil neutral or chaotic evil.
Yeah.
Because I like to say, don't believe everything you're being told. Don't believe. I created my own conspiracy out of this conspiracy
theory. A good conspiracy will do that for you.
Yeah. When you come up with your own theories, that's when the conspiracy theory has really got you in its grip. And yeah, this one, I think everyone is a little bit bored when it was happening. Because like it was nothing was really ever provably about anyone else. And nothing was really that mean.
No, it was like that subtle mean girl shade that people, I think, related to. And that's why it took a hold the way it did.
Yeah. I guess I'm just like, my cyberbully era is so behind me that I'm like not up to speed on cyberbully, like subtle internet shade. I give it an A for all the content that was generated around it and the research that it took for people to make those similarity
videos.
Yeah,
no, I give it a B+ just to honor the work.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work went into it.
It was good.
Let's go. Speaking of Kylie Jenner, I want to talk about something we both learned about from TikTok, which is Sanpaku eyes.
I love this one.
Mm-hmm. This is... I found it from following this like astrologer on TikTok and just kind of like it's like wellness slash like mystical, then can go down like a conspiracy rabbit hole. But it all comes back to, where does Sanpaku eyes originate? It's Japanese, right? Mm-hmm.
And it's when the whites of your eyes are visible below or above or below and above the iris.
And above?
Yeah.
I thought it was just below.
Oh, no, above too.
Oh my God. So yeah, according to this theory, if your whites of your eyes, like if you're in pictures but the whites of your eyes are always showing like below the iris or I guess above, you have Sanpaku eyes, which means you're in like a really bad place in life.
Or that you're going to die a tragic death.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner has been someone that everyone has noticed her Sanpaku eyes.
I have always admired her Sanpaku eyes. Billie Eilish has them too. I always thought they looked cool.
Because it is kind of like sultry, like sly look.
I mean,
Pete Davidson has them, I think, at times. Now I'm like, I want to go back and see if I ever had them.
I want them.
You want them? They look scary.
I think they look sultry. And I think as somebody who has minimal whites showing on their eyes, it's like you want what you don't have.
You know what? If I would accept a Sanpaku eye moment, if it meant that my eyes would equal out to being the same size. Because the older I get, I'm like, I have one eye that's smaller than the other.
Same.
It's really irking me. And I know that I'm going to have some sort of intervention about it. And the clock is just ticking.
I think we all have a non-symmetrical eye situation.
And it gets more pronounced with age.
Yeah, I have like a Paris Hilton wonk and I'm fine with it.
I'm starting to realize that I do. And I can't tell if it's just like the person that did my Botox last really like fucked up and caused a droop.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
Let's talk eyes for a second. Mm-hmm. I think from having dermatitis on my eyes, which was hell, it like ruined the quality of the skin on my eye and it's just like different than it was. And I think my eyes are different now. But that's just my own personal journey. I think we should play an explanation on TikTok of the Sanpaku eyes just so we can all be on the same page.
Great idea.
The tea is buzzing that Kylie now has Sanpaku eyes. Sanpaku eyes are basically when you see the whites either at the bottom or the top, or it's like this and you can just see whites on all four. Other celebrities who have had it are Princess Diana, Michael Jackson, Marilyn Monroe, Abraham Lincoln. And Sanpaku eyes are not very common. And with these celebrities, the one thing that they all have in common is they have all passed away before their time. Fans are saying that Kylie's eyes have changed ever since Astroworld. We're not sure if it's true, but it's just kind of like a theory. When you look at her photo, she is looking up a lot. Like, clearly you're gonna see the bottom whites here. But when you look a little bit closer, her eyes are pretty much straight, but this one you can kind of see the whites down here. It's just a little interesting. Another celebrity that has well-known Sanpaku eyes is Billie Eilish. So we are hoping that Sanpaku eyes does not actually hold the trend of, you know, passing before your time. Tea is buzzing that Kylie.
Wow, I didn't know that it meant passing before your time.
Oh yeah, Abe Lincoln.
I've never even seen Abe Lincoln's eyes in a photo, clearly. That was the 1800s.
Learning stuff, realizing stuff.
This is realizing
stuff. Speaking of Kylie.
I think it can just mean you're in a bad place, which I can totally see is like if you're, especially like, let's say you're really tired, you're getting like eye bags or you're just like not getting good sleep, you're stressed. I think that your body would naturally show Sanpaku eyes. So I take it as like you're under duress of some sort. I didn't ever take it as like you're going to die. Like you're like going to die tragically.
I still think it's hot. So.
I love that. I'm also obsessed with them being like, or you see all the eye just like this. I was like, that's literally like what happens when you have a thyroid
issue.
It's
literally what Wendy Williams has because of her.
Yeah. And you have to get like a surgical intervention to like fix that. So I guess you are in duress, but like it's not.
Lymphedema.
Oh, TikTok. Our TikTok teachers are the ones.
Blessings.
Yeah, who just have.
Thank you to these soldiers, really. I give Sanpaku eyes, I give it an A because I feel like I learned so much.
Yeah, I give it an A because it incorporates history, incorporates another culture's beliefs. It's great.
Yeah, okay. I think now is the time to get into Gaylor.
Okay,
one of my personal favorite corners of TikTok where it not only have I learned things, but I am impressed by the Gaylors of the world. So here's the thing. Okay, the Gaylors believe that Taylor Swift is either bisexual or is like a full-on lesbian, which, cool. I think it's like where I take pause is I think it's pretty intense in the year of our Lord 2023 to be discussing someone's sexuality, but okay. And then there's the Hetlers who believe that Taylor is heterosexual. So it's really like combating viewpoints.
I love that they've named themselves Hetlers.
Yeah. Also, can we get a different name? Because it sounds
a little bit close for comfort. Yeah.
So I'm trying to summarize this as best as I can. But essentially, the whole Gaylor spiel is that Taylor Swift had a relationship with Karlie Kloss.
Mm-hmm.
There is video evidence of them allegedly kissing at a 1975 show. Make note of that. We're coming back to that later.
Okay.
Then the plan was during the Lover era, when Taylor was set to perform at Stonewall, Taylor was going to come out.
Wow. Powerful.
Then
I did not know Taylor performed at Stonewall.
Then during that same time is when Scooter Braun purchased her masters. So she didn't feel like it was the right time for this reveal because obviously it would have provided like a huge uptick in sales. It would have benefited the people who bought her masters, not her, this, that, and the other. They allegedly killed the idea of Taylor coming out. Some bits of evidence to this theory are one that in the You Need to Calm Down video, Taylor's hair is all different colors and it's the bisexual flag.
Oh.
Another little tidbit that is often shared is that Christian Siriano had designed a gay pride dress for Taylor to wear. When they killed the coming out, allegedly, Billy Porter ended up wearing the dress to New York Pride. The dress has mesh pants, skin-toned mesh paneling in the dress. And so, which was very obvious on Billy Porter. So you could tell that the dress wasn't originally made for him.
I'm just shocked that they're the same size. Wow.
And then when the Gaylors caught on to Billy Porter wearing this dress, obviously there are multiple videos about this investigation. And Christian Siriano ended up duetting one of these videos and just sipping his tea.
Very interesting. Okay, very now interesting. I'm on board with Gaylor.
I'm not on board
this
with Gaylor.
This is forensic level. The things, the like Easter eggs that she leaves for her fans and them putting it together is like a beautiful mind.
It's otherworldly. It's the so
work,
wild.
The work it takes to like do all of this.
There's so much more, but I'm not even
well, the Bejeweled video, obviously, right. was like a huge, like, this is a song about Carly. This is like Taylor confirming that the relationship happened and like the aftermath of it, which I like a torrid lesbian love affair.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm into it, but it
But
is...
then why Joe? Did she then just meet Joe and then she
okay,
was like
so then the Gaylers will say
okay, yeah, what
that
did the Gaylers
Joe say? Was hired because she had come from obviously pre-rep era with the Kim and Kanye and just like the media constantly being in all of her relationships. It was really bad for her image. So for her to sort of like be in this relationship that he's super private, so she's super private, and it's sort of like under lock and key what's going on with that, then she was able to focus on the music and control the narrative and get political and all of these things and then sort of like move past the snake of it all, snake emoji of it all.
And get more into like mystical fairy tales.
Folklore era. Yeah.
Okay, but then, so do you think that she then fell in love with Joe or they were in love?
I believe that that was a real relationship.
Me too.
But the Gaylers will say he was on
The payroll.
And
I mean, he wasn't working that much during that time.
Right.
He did one show, like one movie. Like,
I believe that they were real, but I do think the argument, I'm not seeing their point of view.
I also think that like this Maddie Healy rebound is like you're pretty close to coming out as a lesbian if you date that kind of guy.
Okay, so here is the tea. I saw the best explanation mm-hmm. for the Maddie Healy of it all. Smash cut to now. So pre-Maddie Healy, if you Googled Taylor Swift 1975, what came up? Her and Carly.
Oh.
Right. Now you Google Taylor Swift 1975, it's her and the lead singer.
Do you also think that maybe she's trying to tell Carly through this relationship?
Subliminally?
Yeah, just like being like, oh, remember when we connected like at this concert?
Maybe.
Is Carly the one that got away, do the Gaylers think? Because they don't hang anymore.
Yeah, they definitely had a falling out.
Was Tom Hiddleston right after Carly?
I think so.
Because that was extreme hetero energy.
Yeah, that was like
it was so
loudly flexing
that it was also kind of lesbian. Yeah. Making your partner like wear a tank top that says like Team Taylor or whatever.
Yeah,
like
he's like, I just needed a shirt and all they had was the merch. So,
yeah. And like hanging out with all your girls, like that was very like lesbian energy to
yeah,
me.
I agree. There's really a lot to unpack.
So Lover has not. Taylor's version of Lover has not come out yet.
Mm-mm.
Where is she performing during like New York Pride? Like what's her Pride journey been? Well, now it's too close because she has to like, do you think Maddie thing backfired?
No, I think the Maddie thing did what it needed to do. And it's sort of just like,
it was a reset.
Yeah, it was a era reset for her. She did come out and like give a speech about Pride that was so funny. You know what? Let's play it.
Okay.
First things first, happy Pride Month, everyone. Now, on this tour, I get to look out into the most stunningly beautiful, brilliant crowds of people who are living their authentic lives. Who are loving who they want to love, who are identifying how they identify, and allies who support them in that and celebrate them in that. It's like the most beautiful experience for me to look out into the crowds on this tour. I'm looking out tonight, I'm seeing so many incredible, just individuals who are living authentically and beautifully, and this is a safe space for you. This is a celebratory space for you. And one of the things that makes me feel so prideful is getting to be with you and watching you interact with each other, being so loving and so thoughtful and so caring. And so being with you during Pride Month, getting to sing the words to You Need to Calm Down, where there are lyrics like, can you just not step on his gown? Or shade never made anybody less gay. And you guys are screaming those lyrics in such solidarity, in such support of one another, in such encouraging, beautiful acceptance and peace and safety. And I wish that every place was safe and beautiful for people in the LGBTQ community. I really wish that. Because, you know, we can't talk about Pride Month without talking about pain. They're right now, and recently, and in the recent years, there have been so many.
Okay.
Too much talking. Less play. Talking.
My favorite part of that.
Play is Reputation.
Can we get some Evermore? My favorite part is she's like, or you're saying the lyrics I wrote, like, shade never made anybody less gay. Like.
Okay, wait. I have a conspiracy theory that I've always thought that I'm going to share now.
Please.
About You Need to Calm Down and like what it really was about. Okay, so some of you may know that in 2015, I had a viral video called Please Welcome to the Stage. It was during 1989 tour when Taylor was inviting everyone on the stage. I made a video with my friend Ed that was like making fun of her welcoming different people to the stage. And it got like a million views on YouTube. I went on like Entertainment Tonight. Like it was a whole thing.
I'm learning stuff right now.
I played like the song Style played in the background, so I could never monetize it, which is unfortunate. But it's fine because I was really worried for a second that it was going to get totally taken off the internet. But I think that like, I think A, Taylor had to have watched it because it did go so viral. And like, I think she probably didn't like it or appreciate it or find it funny, even though it is some of my greatest work to date. But she and my friend Ed, or I should say Ed, had a lot of beef with her. I don't know if she felt beef towards him, but I'm sure that she knew about it because he was also like going on Twitter rampages, like talking shit about her and like saying things to like Us Weekly about her, like saying she was really a snake and like that she's like a bad person, like all this stuff. So I think by association, I'm probably persona non grata in the Taylor universe. But when that song You Need to Calm Down came out, I was like, I feel like this is about Ed, kind of. Because he was really hyped up about it and he did need to calm down. And I think even he would agree that he needed to calm down at that time. And I was like, I think that that's like a little bit wrapped up in it. He's also gay.
So I feel like. Sure it is. But I also think just like in the world of Taylor Swift, like everybody needs to settle.
Yeah. I think also I could even extend it to just the world in general. Everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah.
But I like to think that there were some pointed moments in mm-hmm. that song that directly reference.
I love him. That you had a viral Taylor video. It's just like new info.
It's just like a low key.
Yeah, just like a fun fact.
It's a fun fact for like the deep cut Lars head.
Yeah.
I like to just like tote that out every once
in
a while.
My favorite thing about the 1989 era was when on that tour when she was like, I'm Taylor Swift and I was born in 1989. And she would like open every show. So good.
She's cool for that. She's cool for everything she's doing.
I love Taylor.
I can't fault her.
I love her music. I think there's something about Taylor that her music, her lyrics are inarguably great, but I think like
some more than others.
Yeah, but people have like a relationship, like a parasocial relationship with her lyrics in a way that is so fascinating to me.
Well, she also I think she is good at, It's almost like she's a podcaster in the sense that it's like she will share personal elements of her life, like, or refer to personal elements of her life, or like personalize the songs. And you know, oh my God, this song's about like John Mayer. This one's about Jake Gyllenhaal. And like, it gives you knowledge of her inner workings during that time. So it fosters that kind of parasocial, even like protective relationship, as we've seen with this like Maddie Healy thing, when the fans were like, no.
They wrote a letter, an open letter.
No. And yeah. Then she was like, okay. But I like her because she's really cheesy and like PG, but she's also really confident that she's like serving cunt all the time. And that is fun. And I hope that she never gets rid of that. And it's just like, she just makes me really laugh because she takes herself incredibly seriously and it's fun.
I have the best time with the Taylor persona.
Yeah.
I love the music.
And it's empowering.
I went to Rep Era Stadium Tour, took mushrooms, had the time of my life.
That sounds really fun.
It was incredible.
One of my biggest life regrets is that during my viral video, Please Welcome to the Stage era, like a power publicist gay reached out to me in DMs and was like, I have floor seats tonight to 1989. Do you want to come with me? And I was just like so weirded. I was just weirded out because I was getting like a lot of attention. And like the Swifties?
Mm-hmm, the Taylor Army.
Yeah, they don't fuck around online. No. Like I was fielding, like I had to block a lot of angry Swifties.
Yeah.
But then I was just like, I didn't realize like at the time you could do something. It just wasn't adding up. Like, oh, you do something and people like it and then they give you stuff or like they want to treat you. I wasn't in a place of like receiving treats. So I was like, I don't trust this person. I don't think I can go. And I wish I'd gone.
Yeah. Well,
but I was also a little scared because I was like, what if Taylor looks down and sees me and she's not happy that I was welcomed, that I was like welcomed to the stage. But maybe it would have been like a peaceful moment between us.
It could have been like healing. I really want to do an Eras Hall. It'll happen before the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well, Eras Hall.
For sure.
Definitely.
So more thoughts on Taylor, but I give Gaylor an A++++. It's the type of conspiracy that makes me full kombucha girl. Like, I'm like, no. Well,
I went into this with like, absolutely not. And now I'm like, oh my God. Totally.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to date like Cara Delevingne?
I'd be open to it. Like, I think that would be a great move, but I don't know.
What's the next Taylor's version that's supposed to drop?
Speak Now.
Okay. And then Lover is after that?
I want 1989 like yesterday.
Maybe she's tabled her like big lesbian reveal for Lover Taylor's TV version.
Maybe. That would be cool.
Like, I don't know if it's going to happen this Pride cycle, but maybe next Pride cycle.
There's also this sapphic writer that is an alias that everyone is convinced it's Taylor Swift. It's like self-published like lesbian poetry that everyone's like, it's Taylor. And I'm like, you guys have lost the plot, but I'll watch all these videos.
I like that. I want her to have her big old lesbian moment.
Right. Who doesn't? I think that's great. But yeah, Gaylor's, I think I'm definitely not a Hetler. I'll tell you that much.
For many reasons, I'm also not a Hetler. Oh my God. Okay. I give Gaylor A+ energy as well.
For sure.
I want to talk about time traveling. Because that's a big TikTok trend, like time traveler TikTok, and like proving that time travel is real. And I think that's just been in the news. Like, there's more stories that pop up where it's like in like a 17th century painting, like a little boy was wearing what looked to be like a pair of Nike trainers. Like, it had like the swoosh on the side, or like in old paintings from yesteryear, there's like a woman who's holding an iPhone, or like a Native American man that's holding an iPhone. And there's like one Greek, which I think was debunked actually, but it was like either like a Roman or a Greek architecture, like carved into stone, was a woman looking at what looked like a laptop computer. And so I'm just intrigued by these. I'm intrigued by time travel.
Like you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm. I've got my eye on it. And if you look on TikTok, there's like some creators that are posting videos of like a woman in the 1930s and she's walking by, but she's clearly like holding a phone up to her ear, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see a world in which we uncover the mysteries of time travel in our lifetime.
That'd be cool. I haven't really given it much thought.
Some people say even like, you know, all those UFO sightings that are happening. Like that's another thing on TikTok where it's like, we'll talk about like weird light sightings or UFO sightings. Yeah. Some people theorize that that is actually like humans from the future coming back to warn humans in the present about like, I don't know, global warming or some shit.
About the fact that our planet will implode because we're so awful to it.
Yeah, like yeah. That's not actually aliens. It's messages from our future selves.
I'm actually really all for some way, and I'm not going to do this, but if some way people can incorporate the conspiracy theories into like actual issues, like solving global warming or like how we can all just like be better to our planet, I think that would be a nice integration. I'm here for that collab.
You know what makes me a little bit bummed, and I hope that like TikTok can change this, is like conspiracy theories are really fun and I like to dabble in them as like an entertainment factor, and some I do subscribe to more than others, but really I'm like a educated smart person who is more like, this is entertaining. But I think it overshadows the fact that like TikTok feels like the most, like the app that's most primed to be able to shed light on like so many actual like real fucked up things. Like I'm thinking about the Ohio train derailment, and like there's one TikToker that's that always talks, like will research what parent companies own, like tampon companies and like all of that, and it all goes back to obviously like BlackRock.
Yep.
And like I feel like those are actual, I guess some people could say like conspiracy theories or like corporate conspiracy theories, but they're true. Like that's like the real kind of evil corporate stuff that does, I think more people need to be educated on and really be like, oh my God, this is fucked up. And like, we should all know about this.
Instead, we're getting like a Selena Haley tattoo montage.
I know. Instead, like that took up a lot of time. And I even think that maybe I have another conspiracy theory.
Hit me.
That these corporations somehow push out these like celeb stuff to us, either through like bot accounts or they do some sort of like algorithmic manipulation to bury anyone else or like bury news about like their own actions.
That's plausible.
Like, I would not be surprised.
Not at all.
If you can launch like misinformation campaigns on TikTok and like Johnny Depp's lawyers can do like TikTok takedowns of Amber Heard, then why wouldn't these Fortune 500 companies do that to stop people from talking about the Ohio train derailment?
Right. Like getting in the mix, and that way it'd be smart.
I mean, I think that that's real. So something to think about next time you're spending 4 hours watching Britney AI.
My algorithm is in a place of stick on tile and stick on wallpaper. So like that's the corner that I've been in lately, but I'll go to a derailment. Sure, why not? I think it's time to get over to the MK Ultra side of TikTok.
Okay.
So for those who might not know, here's the 411 on MK Ultra. MK Ultra was a CIA program conducted from the 1950s to the 1970s involving various experiments on mind control and behavioral manipulation, often using drugs, hypnosis, and psychological torture, with the goal of understanding and developing methods of controlling human behavior. And where this fits into the TikTok world is that there is like a pretty like deep-rooted belief system that a lot of people in the public eye have been MK Ultra'd, and we're getting cloned versions of them.
Some of these people include Kanye West,
Katy Perry.
Who else? It's like lots of pop stars.
Yeah, it's a lot of pop stars. It's like a Tyler Perry. That's a big one.
Okay.
Random.
And this is different than Illuminati. Or is it tied into Illuminati?
It's Illuminati adjacent. I think that some would like us to believe that the Illuminati, to be part of the Illuminati, you get MK Ultra'd.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering where
if they Venn diagram,
or if it's like, oh, I'm an Illuminati believer or I'm an MK Ultra believer.
There's overlap. Okay. For sure. I would say my personal favorite MK Ultra right now is speaking on that Kanye has been cloned, and it's the new Kanye West is way taller than the original Kanye West. And the data that they have to represent this is that Kanye West is 5'8". You can see in photos with Kim, who's 5'2", that Kim is wearing heels and he's maybe like 2 inches taller than her from there. His new partner, wife, allegedly, they say that they're not actually married, but that's a whole other thing. His handler, as they would say. The internet says that she's 5'9", but in every picture that she's with Kanye, she's wearing heels and he's taller than her. So they're saying that the clone
Kanye is actually like
is way taller.
6'1".
Yeah.
They're not taking into account that maybe
they
just lied about
had it wrong.
Her height.
Like, who would
maybe
imagine?
Maybe she's just trying to say she's taller. Maybe he got height surgery.
Maybe. So that's the big one that really caught my attention.
Okay.
I don't believe it, but I love it.
Yeah, I don't believe it either, but I wouldn't put it past him to get like height surgery just because of the Kardashians' plastic surgeries, and that he would probably have access to a great surgeon that
for,
could
like,
do
bone lengthening.
Yeah, I think you can do like extending your leg surgery.
See,
or something.
I feel like
for height.
He has embedded trauma because of what happened to his mom, so I think he wouldn't get
a
surgeries.
Surgery.
But then he's admitted to getting lipo, so who knows?
Do you have to be under for lipo? Can you just have like?
I don't know yet.
Yeah,
I haven't chopped those doctors.
That's coming.
Yeah. So that's interesting on the MK Ultra front. It's a real twisted web once you go deep. There's like a big thing about that Katy Perry glitches, and she does this. I think it's like she says it's a party trick and I believe her. She does this thing where like her one eye like stays shut. And so when she's on stage, she does like this robotic glitch thing.
Yeah.
The internet doesn't have room for like jokes or nuance at all, apparently, because they're like, see, she's glitching. Her robot clone is glitching.
I've seen this also about Billie Eilish, where they're like, look how she moves at the end of this video. And she does something that seems like a robotic head turn. And they're like, she's been MK Ultra'd. I saw another MK Ultra that was like claiming Meghan Markle was a doll or like a robot. But I was like, the person in this video and the person that's playing Harry, that's like not even actually Meghan and Harry. I was like, these aren't these people.
They're like actual like robotic.
Like this is an actor. Yeah, like you'd put these.
Madame Tussauds.
These like wax statues on a green screen.
It's a mess. I give the MK Ultra of it all a D because it just is.
A D for don't. Yeah. It's old news and boring.
I will say there is a... Here, let me see if I can find it.
Or Tyler Perry. See that? This one, you can see this one clear as day. Clear as day. Okay? Look at that. That's not natural, you guys. Now, and you could tell that there's something going on with Tyler Perry's face anyways. But that's what I mean when you could see the mask. And this is like a whole suit. It's very thin latex layers that give you extra size. You know, it goes down to the torso, it's the neck, it goes over the ears. These are very advanced masks, and they're used to deceive us, and they're getting better and better every day. If you listen to the voice on Tyler Perry speak when he speaks, you will clearly hear Will Smith.
She was so happy to have that. It's very sentimental for me, and we do a lot of shooting down here for a lot of the shows. It's always really fun and powerful, and it's a good memory of her to be down here. She was very proud of it.
So the theory is that Will Smith is Tyler Perry, and that Tyler Perry wears a full latex suit.
That Will Smith wears a... that Will Smith is wearing a Tyler Perry skin suit.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And the title is Will Smith Plays a Few Characters on the World Stage.
Wild if true. How does he have time to do it all? To be both one of the most famous actors on the planet and like a billionaire director. I love the creativity of this, but I would say that the proof is lacking.
Yeah, the proof is certainly not there.
What do the commenters say? I always like to see what the comments are saying.
Okay, top comment. Yeah, but wasn't Tyler Perry trying to calm down Will Smith at the Oscars along with Denzel? True. True. Someone said you need to leave that dope alone.
Fair.
True.
Yeah, that seems like you smoked a lot of weed that day and came up with this.
Yubby bored.
Mm-hmm.
Is another one.
But creative.
Creative. I like the creativity. It's a C for creativity.
Yeah, it's a C+ for creativity. But you got to get better proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the MK Ultra just like blanket of it all.
Is that supposed to be MK Ultra?
Yeah, but I don't see like where the intersection is, but it's in the same.
I think people don't really understand what, me included, what MK Ultra is. So then suddenly everything that's weird that celebrities do become MK Ultra.
I would venture to guess that the MK Ultra relationship to something like the idea that Will Smith is wearing a skin suit and being multiple people on the world stage, as they say.
Playing quite a few characters on the world stage.
Would be that the original Will Smith might have been MK Ultra, and then his clone comes back playing multiple people.
But then what happens to the people that the clone is playing? Are they also being MK Ultra?
Yes.
And they're like, we gotta save some money, so we're just gonna take the Will Smith clone and put some like latex skin suits on him, and then have that clone be the clones of all these other people.
And he's talented, so yeah, we can do it.
It'll really change the bottom line, and like our revenue, our quarterly revenue will skyrocket. Okay, cool. We love a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're in a recession.
Okay, I have a really good one that I don't know if you've seen, but I stumbled across this one and I was like, I'm convinced that Rain, Kourtney Kardashian's youngest son, his actual biological father is Justin Bieber.
Oh, I've seen this one.
This one I really like.
Rain was already born when Kourtney started hanging out with Justin. This I know as fact.
A little timeline fudging, but
because she didn't end things with Scott until after Rain was born.
But she also wouldn't take a DNA test to prove that it was Scott's baby. I remember this being a thing, and then people were like, take the DNA test. And then she was like, she was either like, I took it and it turned out that it was Scott's baby, but she never showed the results or something like that. And I was like, that's sketchy.
That is sketchy.
Anyways, I think the
internet would love to believe that, but I don't know if it's the tea or not.
Yeah.
I think this leads us perfectly to the Kardashian curse, which has been well documented on the Kardashians. But let's just hear what the TikTokers have to say.
Kardashians cursed all the men in their lives. It was alleged that a woman who was an ancestor of the Kardashians sacrificed her soul to four witches in Armenia in order for all the women in her bloodline to always have fame, fortune, and beauty while the men around them suffer. Just to take a look at a few of them, Scott Disick, who went from being a relatively successful businessman to developing severe alcoholism and depression in front of the whole world. Travis Scott, who went from having the number one album in 2018, then becoming the most hated and disgraced artist of all time, and not releasing an album since. Caitlyn Jenner, who ruined her relationship with Kris and her children, and later got ostracized by her own community. Kanye West, from being at the top of his career, to being locked in a mental hospital, and running his 2020 presidential run. Pete Davidson, now undergoing trauma therapy after the negative media attention from being with Kim. With all that said, it isn't really a long shot to say that.
Kardashian curse, sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it went all the way back to a witch in the bloodline. Yeah. But I like something about saying that they had like an evil Armenian witch as an ancestor feels problematic at best.
And I love it.
But I like that.
Yeah. I they're not wrong. Whether a witch was involved or not, that they're is a certain kind of stank that gets on a man.
The feminine energy is overpowering.
Yeah. And I love my keeping up. I love my girls.
I have to binge. I have a lot to binge.
I'm going to the For Your Consideration Kardashians panel tonight. So I'll report back.
Wow. You are on the Emmy beat.
I'm on the Emmy beat.
I like it. I give that one like a B. Because it be staying around.
It's timeless.
It is.
Yeah, I'll give it a B minus.
Because we still have yet to see a man winning.
Yeah, but also I think that there's like a certain level of misogyny wrapped in with that theory that...
What about Corey? He seems to be doing great. Tristan seems to be doing great as well.
It's true.
So I think that there's like some holes that you could poke in this. Yeah. B, a solid B.
B minus.
I think ultimately, conspiracy theories give us something to think about because life is a little bit more boring and mundane than we would like it to be at times. So they are kind of entertaining and not unlike we love like a Greek tragedy and mm-hmm. these, especially celebrity conspiracy theories, I think mirror Greek tragedies. That was my learning. My Jerry Springer final thoughts moment.
Yeah, my Jerry Springer final thought for this would be that it's like rabbit holes are fun. I think especially when it comes to popular culture to see sort of like the realm of imagination that exists within people who are consuming it. Like I might receive it one way, but someone else is, you know, seeing something completely different. And that is interesting to me to just sort of like take stock of like other people's perspectives. But I think my biggest takeaway is that getting outside is crucial in life. And I think that all of us listening to this episode today should make a point of doing that.
Yeah. Like a walk, enjoy the flowers, smell the beautiful smells in your neighborhood. And like release the chokehold of the Daily Mail.
Yes.
I've recently released a lot of the chokehold of the Daily Mail and it's felt great.
Yeah, I had to stop checking the Daily Mail. So I do page 6.
I love it. Yeah, page 6 is picking up where the Daily Mail left off, but it's not a daily thing.
I do. This is really old school. It's live journal days. I lurk. Oh no, they didn't. They always have a great aggregation. Still going strong.
Congrats to them.
The community's smaller than it once was, but
it's niche.
Still there. It's super niche. And then, as I've said before, like I've never posted on Reddit, but I am quite the Reddit lurker.
Yeah. I love a Reddit moment. But yeah, I just feel like I've disengaged a bit from like the celebrity gossip.
Yeah, chain. It's good. And
it's
I think
good for my brain.
I too, like prior to this episode when we, you know, wanted to do some research, I'd really for the most part been off of TikTok, and what I've learned with TikTok is I can really take it or leave it. So I think I'm going to go back to a place of leaving it for a while.
Nice.
Until I'm ready to do some type of kitchen reno, then I'll be right back on.
Yeah, know your limits. I like TikTok for just like research purposes. It's really good. Like when I was looking for my recommendations for like what disposable cameras to have at my birthday party or like what kind of like photo booth, like it was helpful to go through and see like
it's great for that. Any niche interest. And I would argue that some of the inspiration for this show is really taking all of the niche interests that get our attention when we're on our devices and providing it in an audio format so that you can go off and do other things and not be just like humping your screen.
Yeah. Maybe you're on a hike right now. If so, good for you.
Yeah. What a haul.
That feels good.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to some honorable mentions. Okay. We'll just quick haul. Bob Ross is a serial killer.
Seen that one.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
I don't want it to be true.
I don't think it is true. Helen Keller faking it.
Maybe.
I love that people turned on like a national American treasure icon and Gen Z said, I don't think so, babe.
They're like, not possible.
Yeah, they're like, I don't get it and I don't see how it's possible. Therefore, it isn't possible. It's like, I think very reflective of current day thinking. But I just love Helen Keller denialism as a TikTok emerging trend and conspiracy. Yeah.
You're going to stand for something. Have it be something that you have no control over in any capacity that really doesn't matter one way or another.
Yeah. That happened so long ago.
And I feel like Helen Keller just taught us in elementary school that like people can have different types of like disabilities, and is the word even disabilities? I don't know.
I think she was disabled. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was also like you can overcome anything.
Is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. You can over, like she was there, she was doing nothing wrong but teaching us that like people come in all shapes and sizes with all different things that they're dealing with and like to be, you know, loving of thy neighbor.
Yeah.
And like, but they're like, nope.
Be open to learning.
It was a folklore tale.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I believe in Helen.
I believe, yeah. But also open to the being wrong.
Yeah, you never know.
I wasn't there.
Cool. Well,
cool.
Guys.
I wanted to say this at the top, but forgot. But if you go into the show notes for this week, there is a little questionnaire that we put together because we want to learn a little bit more about our audience as the show continues to grow. So if anybody feels like filling that out, we have a ton of prizes to give away as a thank you. So once you fill that out, you'll be entered to win this, but not limited to the Sleep Crown collab that I did. We've got, there's literally one left in the entire world and it is reserved for a lucky winner. Then I had mentioned this amazing lighting company, Color Cord, a while back, and they are giving away a lighting fixture that you can just plug in that's so cool and will really elevate any space. And we have a few more surprises. So yeah, please fill that out if you're feeling called to do so. We thank you so much.
Until next time.
See you outside.
Stay niche.
Bye. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.